welcome to lectionary lunch. We're at Epiphany 5, and the reading for today is a really interesting one from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Now, this is all, especially verses 21 through 26, are really part of a passage that begins already in chapter 40, verses 12 and following. So from chapter 12 through 26 is kind of one section, and 27 through 31 is another one. So our text overlaps, so to speak, with a previous section. And notice from chapter verses 12 through 26, the theme is the majesty of God. And when you look at just beginning at verse 12, notice that Isaiah uses a number of questions, rhetorical questions, in order to make his point about God's omnipotence, his majesty, his power, both as creator, as ruler of history, as God overall. Notice that emphasis is especially in verses 12 through 18. And then in 19 through 20, notice he talks about the idol in comparison. So notice that he starts off with, in verse 18, with another question: to who will you liken God? See, what image will you arrange for him? Or what likeness will you arrange for him? And now it compares him with the idol in verses 19 and 20 in kind of a sarcastic way. And then our text now takes it up with another series of questions. All right, and so we begin at verse 21. Halo Teda'u, Halo Tishma'u, Halo Hu God Merosh Lakem, Halo Havinotem, Mos Dot Ha'aretz. Do you not know, Teda, from Yada, simple call imperfect, do you not know, Tishma'u, don't you hear, or don't you listen? Again from Shema in imperfect. Has it not been reported to you, Lakem Merosh, from the top, namely here, this is probably a temporal reference, from the beginning is how most translators do it, who God is a hafal, from nagad, which means to report or to tell. Hegid is probably the form you're most familiar with, the hifil form. So has it not been reported to you from the Rosh, from the beginning? All right, halo havinotem, have you not perceived it? Okay. Notice that havinotem is a hifil from being, hifil perfect, second masculine plural. All right. Have you not perceived it or understood it? Now here, most dot is foundations of the earth. A lot of people suggest that another mem. Notice that there's a mem at the end of havinotem and a mem at the beginning of most dot. Some suggest that a mem has fallen out or at least should be understood, and so they translate, have you not perceived it, from the foundations of the earth. Again, Mosdot Ha'aretz being interpreted as parallel to Merosh Lakem. All right. So he asks this series of questions, and notice they're kind of connecting back to the previous text because it's again talking about Yahweh. So again, verse 22, Hayoshev is referring to Yahweh. He is the one who sits. See, Hayoshev al chug haaretz vi yoshveha ka chagavim hanotek kadok shamaim vayim tachem ka ohel lashavet. The one who sits, call participle, on the chug, on the vault of the earth, ve yoshveha, and its inhabitants. Again, that's a call participle from Yashav, plural masculine. And its inhabitants are ka chagavim, as grasshoppers. Chagav means grasshopper. Ha noteh, he's the one who stretches. Again, a call participle uses substantive. He's the one who stretches kadok as a curtain, kadok, the heavens, shamayim. Vayim tachem, and spreads them. This is from matach. Matach, I think it's the only occurrence of the word in the Bible, is right here. Vav consecutive, call imperfect, plus third masculine plural suffix. And he spreads them, ka ohel, as a tent, lashevet, for dwelling. All right. So again, Lashavet is a call, infinitive construct from Yashav. So once again, he is the one who sits on the vault of the earth, and its inhabitants are as grasshoppers. He's the one who stretches as a curtain the heavens and spreads them as a tent for dwelling. Verse 23, Hanotein Rosnim Le'ayin Shov Te'eretz Katohu Asa. He is the one who makes Rosnim rulers, or potentates sometimes. He is the one who makes rulers into ayin, into nothing. Ayin, remember, the another way of negating, especially used in clauses without verbs. Here it's used almost as a substantive. He is the one who makes rulers into nothing. Shoftei, judges of the earth, are as tohu. Okay, so he makes judges of the earth as chaos. As, again, this is the same word used in Genesis, all was without form or void. All right, verse 24. Af bal nita'u, af bal zora'u, af bal shoresh ba'aretz giz'am, v'gam nashaf bahem v'yivashu, usa'ra kachash tisa'em. Af very often is used in poetry and also in prophecy to introduce kind of emphatically or something emphatic or surprising. So it's kind of like, surely Baal now is a word that occurs in the Psalms and other poetry, and here it occurs in a prophet, and it is equal to lo, not. See, so surely not are they planted. This nita'u is a nifal perfect, third common plural from nata. All right, surely not are they planted. Translators will then translate it as scarcely have they been planted, or scarcely are they planted. Afbal, surely not, or scarcely not, zorahu, are they sown. All right, this is, notice the form, sometimes conjugated or analyzed as a pu'al perfect, but there's no pl to this form. So some suggest that it's a call passive form. So notice you have a nifal passive, now another passive form. Scarcely have they been sown. See, scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely, shoresh, this is a denominative. It's a po'el from sharash, a po'el. Again, a form that's very unusual. This is the only place it occurs with this root. And giz'am is the subject. Scarcely has their giz'am, their root, taken root in the earth, or scarcely has their stem, giz'as, or stump, taken root in the earth. Vegam, all right? Again, another use for gam here, normally used in context in which it means something like also or in addition, but here, again, emphatically emphasizing what comes next. And very sometimes it occurs in a climactic part of a psalm or a piece of prophecy. All right. So scarcely are they planted. Scarcely are they sown. Scarcely does their stem take root in the ground. Vegam, before he blows, nashaf, before he blows bahem on them, vayivashu, and they dry up. This is, vayivashu is a call, imperfect vav consecutive from yavesh, to dry up. And notice the yud of the root has been taken out. All right, and you'll see that throughout this section. I'll show you some other examples later. Usa'ara, and a storm, kachash, like straw, tisa'im, lifts them. Again, a call imperfect from nasa. All right, so scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely does their stem take root in the ground, before, or vegam, see again the emphasis, he blows on them and they dry up, and a wind, tisa'im, takes them up, kachash, like straw. Verse 25. Ve'el, here's another question, notice. Ve'el mi tedam yuni, very much like what we saw in verse 18. Ve'el mi tedam yuni ve'eshve yomar kadosh. Okay, and to whom will you liken me? This tedam yuni, notice it's kind of an interesting word here. It's from the root dama, PL imperfect from Dhamma. Notice that very similar to what you have in what are considered more older texts, a more archaic style, you actually have the third root letter, the yud, appearing before you add the ending u to it. See? So it's dalet mem yud. In the perfect, it's you see it as a hey, but that's a phony hey, so to speak. The real root letter is a yud, and it comes back in this case. Sometimes, you know, when you have vocalic suffixes added, it disappears. That's what you see in standard biblical Hebrew. To whom will you liken me? Ve'eshva, and I will correspond. Again, shava, to be equal to correspond to. Says Kadosh, says the Holy One, referring to God. Verse 26. Se'u marom enekem. Ura'u mi bara ela. Lift up. This is an imperative from Nasa. Lift up. Marom means height, but again, it's used as an adverb, as so many nouns are in Hebrew. So lift on high. Lift high enekem, your eyes. Ura'u, and look. Who created these? Ela. See, again, he's telling them to look at the heavens. Who created these? Okay. Ha motzi bemispar. Zeva'am, the one who brought out. This is from Yatza, to go out. This is a hifil participle, masculine singular from Yatza. The one who brought out in number their host. The one who brought out their host in number. Okay? Lekulam b'shem yikra. To all of them by name he calls. Me'rov onim. Amitz Koach Ishlo Nedar, from the multitude of Onim, of strength or vigor. Notice a lot of abstract nouns in Hebrew are plural. All right, and you see that a couple times in this text. So from the multitude of power, all right, and the Amitz strength of power. Notice that again, Hebrew is using two nouns together, the greatness of his power, we would translate in English, because of his great power and amitz koach, and mighty strength, or something like that. Not one ish netdar is lacking. This is a nifal perfect third masculine singular from adar. Okay, so lift up high your eyes and look who has created these. The one who has brought out in number their host. To all of them he calls by name, because of his great power and his mighty strength, because of the multitude of his power and the strength of his might, not one is lacking. Nedar. Okay, now verse 27, notice he switches now from the majesty of God. He brings his sweet gospel promise to his people. And so the interesting thing you do homiletically is talk about this God that we worship and the promises that he makes to his people. So you have this kind of transcendent God talked about through verse 26. And now notice the intimate terms that he brings to his people. So verse 27. All right. Lama tomar Yaakov utedaber Yisrael nis teradar ki me Yahweh ume Elohai mishpati Yaavor. Why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you state, O Israel? See, tedaber and tomar, obviously parallel terms. So why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you say, O Israel? Nis tera. This is from the root satar, nifal, perfect, third feminine singular, and darki is the subject, see? So why do you say, my way is hidden from Yahweh? And from my God, Elohai, from my God, my mishpat, my cause, passes away. See, Ya'avor. My cause passes away from my God. Why do you say that? See? Here's another question, verse 28. Halo yadate im lo shamata. Elohei olam Yahweh borei ketzot ha'aretz. Lo yi'af elo yigah. Ein cheker litvunato. Do you not know? Now here, im lo, I'm going to translate this. Most translators go, or have you not heard? But im lo, remember, when you're making a strong, emphatic assertion, can mean, and it's done a lot of times in oath, and that's where you usually see it. Certainly you have heard. See? So, don't you know? Certainly you have heard. God Olam, God of forever. See? So, an eternal God is Yahweh. One who created, Bore, participle, the one who created the Ketzot Haaretz, the ends of the earth. Lo Yi'af. He does not, Ya'af, grow faint. Here is a call, imperfect, from the root Ya'af. And notice you see the Yud there, which you didn't see in the Vav consecutive form earlier in verse 24, Yevashu. You see it here. He does not grow faint, Velo Yaga, and he does not grow weary. Again, a call, imperfect, third masculine, singular, from Yaga. Ya'af and Yaga are going to be used in the next few verses as synonyms to each other. So he does not grow faint, he does not grow weary. Ein Cheker, there is no searching out to his Tevunato, to his wisdom. Again, this is from, notice that this is a noun from being, to understand. Here you add a Tav, to his understanding. Okay, so he does not grow faint and he does not grow weary. There is no searching to his understanding. He is the one. Okay, verse 29. No tain Laya'ef koach ula'ein onim atzma yarbeh. He is the one who gives to the faint koach, power. Notice ya'ef here is a noun from the root ya'af. See? So he's the one who gives to the faint one koach, power. And to ein onim, to the one without strength or vigor. Onim again is a plural. To the one without strength or vigor, yarbeh. He multiplies atzma, strength. Yarbeh is a hifil, imperfect, third masculine, singular, from Rabbah. So again, verse 29, he is the one who gives to the faint power, and to one without vigor, again, notice the abstract noun in the plural, he multiplies atzma, strength. Alright? Verse 30, ve'ye'afu na'arim ve'yega'u u'bachurim kashol yekashel. Okay, notice the form ve'yi'afu. Again, this is from the root ya'af, and the yud of the root letter has been assimilated. All right, we've seen that. We saw that before. Notice in verse 28, it's not. Verse 30, it is. So the subject is ne'arim. Young men, now young men, ye'afu, grow faint. See, so I'm understanding this as kind of a general truth here. Young men grow faint. And yaga'u, they grow weary. Again, notice the root yaga. We have the same root as we see in verse 28, but without the yud of the root letter. All right. Again, it's written defectively, and not that uncommon that you'll see that kind of switching back and forth. Okay. So young men ne'arim grow faint, and they grow weary. And bacharim, again, strong men, vigorous men, kashol yikashel, stumble. All right. Notice that yikashel is a nifal, imperfect, from kashal. And it seems to have, in most contexts, an overlapping meaning with the call form. I looked this up, and the call form occurs something like 30 times. The nifal form occurs something like 24 times. So roughly an equal amount of times there. Notice that the kashal is an infinitive absolute in the call. Notice that you would expect normally that the infinitive absolute would have the same binyan, the same conjugation as the finite verb. All right, but again, it's not that uncommon to substitute a call. So here you have a call, infinitive absolute, with a nifal, finite verb. And I would say that, again, there's a couple ways to interpret it, and I kind of think a lot about these. Here it seems to be strengthening. I'm going to interpret it as strengthening the assertion. So it says, and young men certainly stumble. See? So, it's kind of well known, no matter how strong you are, there is a limit to human power. So, notice it then, in understanding 30 that way, sharpens the contrast between verse 30 and 31. So, but, kove Yahweh yachalifu koach, but those who hope in Yahweh, that kove is from kaf, Vav, hey, kava, to wait for, to hope for. Again, it's a participle, and it's masculine plural in construct. What's unusual about the form is that you would expect an extra yud to be there. See, as the, as an indication of the pluralness. All right, that yud you're seeing is part of the root letter, but notice that in the text there's three. There would be three yuds there, and so there's other examples here that you can find in the Bible in which the Masoretes write a word like this way, especially if it's before another yud. All right. So you would still translate it or understand it as a participle in construct. See, those who hope in Yahweh, Yahalif. Here it is, this is a hifil, imperfect, third plural from chalaf. Chalaf in the call is mostly used intransitively to change positions or something like that. Here it's used transitively, koach is the object. So those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. Gain new strength, something like Yahalifu. Okay, Ya'alu. Notice the root is from Allah. The forms call, or it could be either call or hifil in form. All right. If it's call, you would understand something like this: they mount aver pinions, wings aver, as nesharim, as eagles. All right. But a lot of translators understand it as a hifil, with the idea, what they see behind it is the idea that when an eagle molts and grows new feathers, it gets its youth back again. So they would suggest that you translate, and actually the Jewish Publication Society translates it like this. I was interested in kind of how they do it. They actually translate it very idiomatically. They will grow wings like eagles, see? They will sprout feathers like eagles. And, you know, I think that's kind of a possibility. See, they will bring up, that's how you have to understand it a little more literally, aver, pinions or wings, like nesharim, eagles. Yarutsu, they will run from roots. Velo yiga'u, and they will not grow weary. Yelku, they will walk from halak. Velo yi'afu, and they will not faint. So again, notice from verse 28 on, those two words, ya'af, yaga, they change positions chiastically very nicely. You can kind of, as a reader, expect that this is the end of the thought by the way that the verbs are arranged here. So again, my comments at the beginning hold. As he moves through this text, we move from the majesty of God, his power, his omnipotence, especially over and against idols in 21 through 26, to this great word of promise to his people in the midst of their despair. So, you know, notice it moves from this transcendent to this kind of intimate, tender talk. This God who can do anything promises to help those who wait on him. So I think that homiletically, when you're looking at this text, that kind of a move can be a very effective one for God's people. Yeah, please. Yeah, as long as we're the only one here, you do what you want.
31a.
Yeah.
Go back again to taking Ya'alu as a call.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how do you fit aver into it then?
Okay. Then it would be, if it's a call, then it's intransitive to
right.
Go up.
Go up.
And so what you would translate this is to they mount or go up on. The wings as eagles. Very often in Hebrew, you know, especially in poetry, you're not going to have a preposition like bait in there.
Oh, okay.
So you just take that as kind of a compliment, adverbial compliment,
yeah, okay,
or something
okay.
like that.
All
right.
All right. So, I mean, so that, in other words, that structure, if it's called, is not problematic.
No, it's not problematic at all. It's very common to have, right, not have a preposition and stuff like
is
that.
Is there any other place where the notion of molting or whatever, getting new wings, would be?
The other one, and I can't remember the psalm, it's psalm something. I didn't bring it. They base that idea on psalm, I think it's 103 or something like that, but I can't be sure of where it is. But basically they look at this idea here as parallel to that other one specifically, right? Okay?
Great.
All right, good. I got another meeting I got to go to. Let me show you.
Yeah.
When you're done, all you got to do is click that blue right there.
Right. I don't see where you're going.
Okay.
Oh, see, that right there.